Dick Butkus, one of the Bears' best players of all time, the Chicago Bears, was done with his scene, and he's walking down the street, and I had my little Chicago Bears hat on, and my friend, who was an electrician, had a Green Bay Packer hat on.
Oh, where he was from.
Now, you know, being from Chicago, you hate the Packers,
right?
Or Packer fans hate Bear fans. So me and my friend Max, we run up to Dick, and he sees me with my Bears hat on, and he goes, "You? Fine. You? Get out of here." And he was talking to my friend Max, and my poor friend Max left. And we were, I must have talked to him for like 15, 20 minutes, and that was the highlight of my career, is meeting Dick.
Oh, that's so cool.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Good evening. It is episode 128, and Ted and his family are traveling across the U.S. on a road trip back to D.C., where they are originally from. So tonight, instead of Ted, I have Frank Monaco, who works for Warner Brothers Studios, with us. Frank, how the hell are you?
I'm doing good, my cousin.
Yeah, Frank is my cousin, by the way. And we are, I told him, I said, hey, how about you join us on the podcast and, you know, to kind of take the place and spare everybody another replay. So you have a Stella, you said tonight, right? To be drinking?
Yes, I have a Stella.
All right. So a Stella, I don't know if I've ever had a Stella on the show.
It says Belgium. Belgium beer. My wife got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, Stellas are good. I like Stellas. It's a good lager. I have a Firestone Union Jack. And I don't know, I might have had this on the show, but after 128 episodes, who the hell's counting, you know? I can't keep track.
A lot of beer, my friend, a lot of beer.
A lot of different beers. We try to do a different one every night, but I'm probably going to start running out of them after some point. All right, Frank, we got you on the show tonight, and every once in a while we do some industry interviews. We get people on who work in the industry in different realms and everything. We've had trailer editors, we've had audio people, we've had musicians, we've had directors and producers, we've had a lot of different people on the show. So give us a bit of a background about what you do, where you work, how long you've been there, and, you know, anything else you think people would enjoy hearing about you, your job, and you know, we could get into some fun stories then after that.
Well, I've been at Warner Brothers Studios for 30 years. This is my 30th year.
Wait, 30?
30 years.
They don't give people that much time for murder.
Yeah, no, 30 years. And I actually, in the summertime, I keep everybody cool. So we take care of the stages. We take care of the office buildings. We take care of the sound stages. I did Ellen for like 10 years, controlling her temperature. In the wintertime, we take care of the heat, keep everybody warm, and that's what I've been doing for the last 30 years.
Yeah, and I know you've been on nights for a long time, and that's like when people would shoot most often, or?
Yes, a lot of long hours, Jim. I worked 17 years on nights.
Ugh.
And I remember, for example, when Brooke Shields had her pilot, Suddenly Susan, I don't know if anybody remembers that show, but.
Yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah, so I remember they shot the pilot, and then they wanted to recast one of the actors. It's been so long, I don't remember. But I stayed 2 weeks till 6 in the morning. That's a lot. That's one thing about working nights in these shows. You're going to stay a long time.
Was Brooke Shields the one in like Blue Lagoon?
Yes, she was the one in Blue Lagoon, and she was actually married to Augustine, the tennis player.
Oh, okay.
And I remember seeing him a lot on the stage. He always had his tennis racket in the stage. It was funny. He always just used to swing it inside the stage while she was shooting. It was
Was he hitting a ball, or he just swinging it?
No, he wasn't hitting the ball. He was just swinging it, just practicing, I guess. That was like in his prime.
I guess whenever you need to. I guess it's like a golfer. He just like shoots blanks with his golf balls or something, you know.
Exactly. But no, but he was really cool. And But one thing about working in Hollywood is you work a lot of hours. lots of hours. I remember being on ER and Friends and West Wing, and they'd be there to 4 or 5. And I mean, Gilmore Girls. I mean, I was there to 4 or 5 in the morning every single night. Especially like, well, for example, if they have a call time at 6 on Monday, then Tuesday's going to be 8 o'clock. And then Wednesday's going to be 10 o'clock. And then Thursday's going to be, you know, noon. And then Friday comes and their start time is 2. And they always do 14 hours usually. So I was there like every Friday. I knew I was there till 4 or 5 or 6 in the morning.
And the actors and everybody, they're there the whole time?
They're there the whole time.
Man, and people say like they don't work hard or something. Man, it's like a hard work.
Well, it is. It is very hard. Well, because I remember once Gilmore Girls was shooting. So I went over to my buddy and he was the sound engineer, the sound mixer at the time. And I said, hey, much longer they got? And he goes, oh, we'll be done at 11 o'clock. So I go over there at 11 o'clock. He goes, nah, we're still shooting. I ended up staying till 5 in the morning. One of the actors couldn't get his line. And it was this very basic line. And I remember the producer goes, okay, that's it. We're done. Just print it. Whatever it takes. That's good enough. We're going home. And I was there at 5 in the morning. They're supposed to wrap at 10:30.
5 in the morning. They're like, that's good enough.
Exactly. That's what he said. He was just so fed up because the kid couldn't get his line. I mean, it was like, oof. And everybody on the show was really getting frustrated. And they just said, that's it. That's enough.
And then, I mean, and like craft service and food and everything is going the whole night?
Oh, geez, Jim. Oh, well, let's see. Friends used to ship in, when Friends had their audience, I think it was on Friday or Thursday. It's been so long, but they would ship in Philly cheesesteaks from Philadelphia, Chicago, like pizza from New York. They had the best craft service. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I ate like a king. I'd go in there. Oh, I had some food, Chinese food, Philly cheesesteaks. You would be surprised what kind of food they had on some of these shows.
And this is Friends.
This is Friends.
Oh, man. And so the main reason you're staying is so you can help shut down the stage when everything's over? Is that with like the heat and air conditioning?
Well, you got to consider, though, if in the middle of the summertime, these stages with these lights, before they had LED lights, they didn't have LED. Now they got LED lights that run a lot cooler than what the old lights used to run. But
yeah,
those stages would get up to 100 degrees if the air wasn't on.
Oh, man. Because of the lighting?
Yes, because of the lighting. I'm not exaggerating.
Wow.
Yeah, those stages, they got hot. So we would have, I'd have all the air pumping until they were done. I couldn't leave until they were done.
So pretty much the air is cranking because the lighting, and obviously like body heat and other electronics and stuff, and yeah.
Body heat and yeah, and old system. We didn't have central air when I first started. Now they got central plants. So, but back then, if they went on red light.
Oh, so it all shut down.
They didn't want to hear the sound. So all the air conditioning would shut down. But now we have most of our stages, if somebody goes on red light, they shut down the low speed so you don't hear them. But the air's still cranking, but they're on a lower speed. But back in the old day, they just shut off. So if somebody rehearsed for like 20 minutes, they had no air. And that stage would heat up. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. They would heat up to like 80, 90 degrees sometimes.
Well, I've been in those stages. I mean, they're like enormous.
Yeah, they're huge.
And they're really high. The ceilings are really high with like the catwalks up there and everything.
Sometimes, but you got to consider like the ER set, they had the hospital sets. So they were like 8-foot ceilings with T-bar ceilings. So it was like a real hospital. And we'd have like grills in there with ductwork tied into the grills.
So the main stage is huge, but the set itself is set up like a hospital.
Exactly.
And the rooms would get hot and everything is what you're
exactly
saying. Yeah, I follow you. Wow, so that's cool though. I mean, yeah, because you've taken me and Clarissa around on different tours and stuff, and I know Uncle Bud took us around on tours at Paramount and things, but I always enjoyed checking out, like, you know, the orchestra room or whatever. It's like the Didn't Clint Eastwood save that or something?
That's what they call it. They call it the Eastwood scoring stage in Warner Brothers because he did Unforgiven there. That's where they did that movie.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, like the orchestra. I used to go in there and just listen to the orchestras play, and it was like means pretty awesome.
Yeah, it must be just amazing. Nowadays, with like COVID-19 and all the coronavirus stuff, and you know, I mean, obviously a lot of production has shut down. What does your typical day look like now?
So basically, we have one feature there, and they had 10 days to shoot before all this coronavirus hit. So they actually started up production again. But they're so strict now. So I'll put it this way, which is really good. So even when they rehearse, everybody has to wear masks. You got to get checked in. So basically, they check your temperature and everything like that. You got to stand 6 feet apart. So let's say, for example...
Well, what if there's like a kissing scene or something? What happens?
That I don't know, because I haven't been on the stage, because they're kind of... They won't even let us on the stage pretty much unless we have authorization or they called, because they're really strict and they're taking it really serious.
Yeah, and this is Denzel Washington.
Right.
And I don't know if they have a release date. I was looking on the internet. It doesn't seem to be. It's distributed by A24, which is cool because me and Ted are pretty big fans of A24 and we've done a lot of movies and reviewed a lot of movies by them. And looks like it's also done by Joel Cohen, one of the Cohen brothers.
Yes, it is actually.
So very cool.
But so pretty much what I seen was pretty much everybody will stand out the stage, and if set lighting needs to go in there, everybody comes out the stage, set lighting goes in, they do their gig.
So they're real cautious.
And then pretty much everybody goes out. So it's not like they're real cautious, which is really good. I mean, you know, but as of now, pretty much no production has started up yet. And they keep saying, well, I was laid off for like 3 months.
Oh, wow. That long.
Yeah, that long. But then they said, oh, production's going to start in July or June. They didn't start. And they said, oh, it's going to start in July. It didn't start. And then they said, oh, the end of August. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens.
When you're looking at heating and air conditioning and air and, you know, air movement and air handlers and all these kinds of things, do you guys have like special filters nowadays, or like what are you guys doing there?
That's pretty much what we've been doing. We've been putting these high end
like HEPA filters.
They're called MERV. Well, no. Basically, the filters we put in are MERV 8s. That's just...
I don't even know what that means.
Well, okay. How much air caps, how much filtration the filters actually will, before dirt goes through.
Oh, like pollen, bacteria. Pollen,
stuff like that. So now we're putting in MERV 13s. We did all the stages there, so that's great. But the filters are on back order because everybody in the world's ordering these type of filters.
Of course.
So we got all the stages done, but that's what our goal is, to get all these... to prevent the coronavirus from going through the filtration system, you know?
Yeah. Man, I mean, it's like when you think about like movies and the studios and everything, and like, you know, we've talked about a lot of Netflix productions and everything, and we've moved away from talking about, not for any fault of anybody's, but everything shut down, and we've moved from talking about releases in the theaters. And everything pretty much at this point that we've talked about, and oh, I don't know, man, like the past like 20 episodes or more has all been streaming because there's no theatrical releases. And I mean, are they seeing a timeline that you know of, like when they're going to run out of things to distribute?
Well, I think most of our stuff, we shot a lot of TV shows that are done. And pretty much, I think they finished some of the episodes for some of the shows.
And they're just pushing them out as they need to, or?
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know anything about when the shows are coming back, I'll be totally honest.
Yeah.
For the next seasons. But I know what's going to happen when they start up again. They're not going to take no hiatus. They're just going to go all the way through. Because we got to catch up, you know?
Exactly. Well, right now is their hiatus.
Yeah, and it's going to be like gung-ho when they start.
Man, talk about overtime.
But they're going to take precautions, though, too. I mean, they're not going to, I mean, I'm telling you, they're really taking this serious, which is a good thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, we got warned pretty much by our boss today. If you get caught without a mask, it's a warning. And then if you get caught again without a mask, it's a 2-week suspension without pay. And then the third time, you're terminated. No matter how long you've been there, nothing, so...
Now, when you say caught without a mask, whatever, like working on the stage and stuff, or?
No. We're supposed to wear the mask.
The minute you step foot on the lot.
Step foot on the lot. The only time we're not allowed to wear it is when we're eating or drinking.
Okay, or like in the bathroom or something by yourself.
Or something, yeah. Right. Or if you're in an office by yourself, which I heard, you could be in your office. If there's nobody there, you don't have to wear a mask. But I can't walk in an office without a mask.
Oh, yeah, especially when there's other people working and stuff.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people are working from home. For example, I worked at the Warner Ranch, and there's a lot of animation there, a lot of animation buildings. So one of the guys told me was, for example, an animator who worked 5 days a week will work 3 days. Like this guy will work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and he'll work Tuesday and Thursday from home. And then the other guy will work Tuesday and Thursday at the studio, and he'll have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday off.
And they'll flip-flop it, yeah.
They'll flip-flop, and that's pretty much what they're doing. But a lot of people are working from home.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it makes sense, too. If you have you're hands-on, right? I mean, like, if you don't...
Right.
Like, if you're not there, I mean, the filters aren't getting changed. I mean, it's a physical job.
Correct.
But, yeah, when you're looking at, like, digital asset management and you're looking at all this kind of stuff, or you're looking at animation or whatever it is, yeah, I mean, you know, probably the limiting factor, I would think, with a lot of people is... You know, like, I don't know about you, but like, I have a pretty fast download speed, but my upload speed is like 5 megabytes or something. It's like atrocious.
Right. Mine too.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you think about the time and we're working from home and coronavirus and everything people are doing, you got to have a faster download speed. But that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we got the top notch internet.
Oh, well, where you guys, I'm sure you guys do. Yeah, of course. But I'm saying at home, though, working from home.
Right. Exactly.
So, okay. That's what you have going on nowadays. But, and you've been there for 30 years, like you said. I mean, what are some of your more memorable moments? Like, tell me something that, like, you know, you just can't forget because it was so amazing. Like, first, top of mind.
Well, Superman, Dean Cain. You remember Dean Cain?
Okay.
Lois and Clark with Terry Hatcher and Dean Cain?
Yeah, yeah.
I used to play basketball with him every single night. Him and his bodyguard. Me and my buddy.
Bodyguard.
He was a security. Oh, this guy was big, Jim. He was like built like Schwarzenegger, but we had fun. I used to smoke cigarettes in my smoking days. But me and Martin Sheen used to, when West Wing was shooting, we would stand out in front of the friggin' stage and smoke cigarettes, and he'd tell me about how Republicans stink and how George Bush couldn't run a Boy Scout troop. Just things like that. But he was really cool, man. I met some really cool people there, I'll be honest.
Now, was that during the filming of The West Wing?
Yeah, it was a filming of The West Wing.
Okay, so he's shooting The West Wing while George Bush was in The West Wing.
Correct.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, I remember when, when Al Gore was running against George Bush.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember when they said Al Gore won Florida?
Yeah, the Hanging Chads.
Right. So you got to consider, most everybody at the studio, we kind of think Democratic.
Sure, yeah.
Because they're union and things like that. So if they have a big TV and everybody was watching the TV and they said, oh, and Al Gore won Florida. Everybody was cheering. And then they said, well, sorry, we got a special announcement.
We spoke too soon.
George Bush won Florida. You could have heard a pin drop. Everybody walked out of there with their heads down.
Oh, man. That's funny. But yeah, hanging out with Martin Sheen must have been awesome.
Oh, he was one of the nicest guys I've ever met. I mean, that guy was just like, I got to admit, most people I met, 90% of them have been friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
Like I met George Carlin.
Oh.
So he had a show there, George Carlin Show. Back in the 90s.
Right.
And of course, you and I are from Chicago. And I had my White Sox hat on. And he comes, so I walk in his building. And he comes down the stairs with his Yankee hat. And he looks at me and goes, oh, geez, a Chicago fan, you poor bastard. And he goes, be a Yankee fan. He threw me his friggin' Yankee hat and I put it on. He was a cool cat,
that's
too.
Funny.
But yeah, George Clooney. I used to play basketball with George Clooney. Will Smith. And Urkel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He used to play basketball. Me and George. Urkel. He was a cool guy.
So, George Clooney, that was when...
ER was shooting.
ER was shooting, yeah.
I got to admit, everybody on that show was friggin' awesome.
On ER.
Yeah, because we used to hang out at the Powerhouse. And the Powerhouse is what used to generate all the lights that they, you know, for the stages. And the Powerhouse was right across the street from ER stage. And every time they had a break or something, every actor would just come and start talking to us. Just like we were, I mean, it was unbelievable. They were so friendly. And they were just like awesome. Like I said, I only had a couple of bad experiences there. I would say most of the actors have been, they've been really nice to us. I mean.
So names, leave the names anonymous. What are some bad experiences since you brought it up?
Well, let's see. So
I don't want you to call anybody out here, you know, but.
Well, one time back in the mid-90s or late 90s, one of the actors, and I don't want to mention his name, but he was a famous comedian. And our boss called me and he goes, "Hey, you got to go over to this stage and fix his air conditioner." So I walked in his dressing room. The first thing he says is, "My effing air conditioning's not working. When the hell are you going to fix it?" So I walked out, told my boss, he goes, "You know what? Go back in a couple of days." So I went back in a couple of days and the guy apologized to me and he's like, "Hey man, I'm sorry. I just had a bad day."
But, you made him wait in like Burbank heat.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But he was cool though. But he was cool. He apologized and, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it's like a bad experience that like, well, probably worse for him since he was hot. But yeah. It's a bad experience that turned like better in the end, really. So it even in the end, it really wasn't even that bad of an experience if you think about it.
No, not at all. Most, but like I said, though, most people have been really nice. And I met pretty much everybody. Musicians, they used to do, I remember when they used to do the MTV Awards there. I saw Fleetwood Mac, the Eagles.
Oh, very cool.
I mean, I used to go on the stage and watch them just rehearse sometimes, like Fleetwood Mac, and that was pretty cool.
Now, when they're in, if they're on a stage rehearsing, I mean, would there be things like craft service and like their managers and the audio people and like, I mean, would it be like a full on production when they're rehearsing, or would it just be the band, or who's there?
It would just be the band and a couple of their people in there. That's
so
all.
It was small,
I
mean, at that point.
Like Fleetwood Mac when they like that. I don't remember the name of it, Jim, but that Fleetwood Mac concert, it was back in the 90s, early 2000s. It was popular. They even made a CD out of it. But I remember I used to go in there and they used to rehearse the same song over and over and over. And it was pretty cool. But they haven't done any music. We haven't done any music stuff in years, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, pretty much everything is like, you know, they don't shoot movies like they used to. Mostly TV series now. When I first started there, they shot like Space Jam and, I mean, they shot Batman. I worked on the original Batman. And
so we'll come back to Space Jam. But when you're talking about they don't shoot movies the way they used to in a lot of TV, do you think that's because of a lot of like the computer generated stuff? Or what do you think the reason is?
Well, they shoot TV stuff a lot. But the movies, they haven't shot movies. I don't know why. Maybe it's because they, I don't know, Jim. I couldn't tell you. I don't know if it's because they shoot most of it in Atlanta or most of it's like, I'm not sure.
Oh, that's true. I know Atlanta's a hotbed for shooting.
Yeah, yeah. New Orleans, too. But
right.
I mean, they shoot movies sometimes. But when I first started there, man, like half the stages were movies, you know? And it's like, it's not like that anymore. Mostly TV now and stuff like that.
Let me jump back a second. So the Fleetwood Mac, was that like the reunion tour or something?
You know, we could look it up and see what the name of the concert was.
Oh, that's okay. I'm not worried about it.
But it was a famous, it was like they were getting back together. They, you know, it was like one of their first comeback concerts.
Yeah, that was probably the reunion tour. I do remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And they made a DVD out of it and a CD out of it. But actually, that was actually really cool.
Space Jam. I just finished, and I know you saw it too. We talked about it when we were in the green room. And I just finished The Last Dance, and I know you talked about, or you saw it too, because we talked about it while in the green room. And in The Last Dance, they showed when he was doing Space Jam, and like all the NBA players, Patrick Ewing and everybody showed up.
Oh, yeah.
So were you doing like the air conditioning for that like gymnasium and all that stuff?
No, we didn't have the gymnasium. That was an actual outside air conditioning company that set it up. But we did the stages for them. They had about four or five stages. And they were pretty elaborate.
With all the green screen and all that.
But I remember when they built that gymnasium, they actually, I think it was the Long Beach College, they actually took the floor and they put it in there.
Oh, wow.
You know, like the hardwood floor, and they actually took it from that Long Beach and they brought it over for Jordan on this. It was pretty, I mean, he used to have kids from UCLA and NBA players. I used to go in there and watch them all the time. That was like, being a Chicago Bulls fan, it was freaking like, wow.
That must have been amazing.
I remember once, remember Muggsy Bogues?
Oh, yeah.
He's like 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
I remember one of the stages, I had a basketball. Who comes out of the stage? Patrick Ewing and Muggsy Bogues. It was so funny because it was like a guy that's 7 foot and a guy that's like five yeah. foot. And they walked out and I was like, hey, man, can I have your autograph? And they were like, oh, no problem. And they
that's hilarious.
But it was just funny seeing those two guys because one guy's so tall, the other guy's so short, you know?
What was shocking about watching The Last Dance when they were doing the games and everything is Jordan wants to make his comeback. And he's doing Space Jam. And then he somehow gets all of these NBA players. And it was his way to get like a look at all these guys before he made his comeback. And like, and the thing is, how do they make the choice to say, okay, Jordan, you could watch me play and use me as your tool?
I have no idea, Jim, but that it worked.
I guess that's the power Jordan wielded over the NBA at the time or something, you know?
Oh, man. I know. It was friggin' hilarious. It was like, no, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, you'd think like the Knicks center, you know, Ewing or somebody would be like, screw you. I'm going to beat you in the playoffs. You know, but no, they go there to play him and everything. You know, I don't get how that
exactly.
worked. I don't get how that worked.
Neither do I. I have no idea. But he was cool. I met him once, though. He was actually really nice.
Wait, who's that? Patrick Ewing or?
No, Jordan. Jordan.
Oh, Jordan.
I actually met him once and he was actually really nice. I remember we used to sign his. I didn't get any. But a lot of security guards I know, he used to, after he was done practicing that night, he'd sign shoes and throw them to the security guards.
Wait, shoes?
Shoes, sign shoes.
Oh, like one shoe or the whole pair?
Air Jordans.
What? Oh.
The whole pair, Air Jordans. He would sign them and I'm thinking, hey, I'm an air conditioning guy keeping you cool. Don't I get anything? And obviously I didn't get anything.
My feet aren't as big, but I'll just wear a lot of socks so I can fit into them.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, I remember one of the guys showed me the shoes. I'm thinking, hey, you want to give them to me? And he's like, nope. I'm like, you bastard. You're a Laker fan. I'm a Bulls fan.
Those things. Yeah, that shows where his allegiance is, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that's amazing. And I guarantee you, man, those things, well, it depends. Like if it's just Michael Jordan on it, man, those things got to be worth some cash.
Oh. I'll bet you they're worth some. Yeah. No, they're worth
unbelievable.
Some bucks.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. Lucky security guards, huh?
I guess. But like you said, you're the one keeping everybody cool. Like,
exactly.
You should be like,
anything.
You should be like, oh, you're not going to send me any? Boom. And it's hit the power. Everyone's in <sweating.
laughs> I used to turn them off at night, but we never maintained them or anything. That was an outside company that did it. But
Yeah. No, I gotcha.
But no, that was cool, though. No, I'd seen some really cool. I met all kinds of people, Jim, like Clint Eastwood. And I mean, you name it, I've probably met him.
Yeah.
There's nobody I haven't met. It's just been there so long, you know?
Yeah, I mean, 30 years and it's all been at Warner Brothers?
All been at Warner Brothers.
So 30 years at Warner Brothers.
My dad worked at Paramount for 30 years.
Oh, if not longer. He was there a long time. Yeah. And then Uncle Bud, his brother worked at Paramount Universal.
And then Uncle Blackie, our uncle, he was Telly Savalas' personal driver.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And then our cousin Suzanne, her husband was the head teamster at CBS.
At CBS, yeah. Yeah.
So that's how people used to get in back then. I mean, I got in, my uncle got in.
Well, you're the last one.
Yeah, because it's different now. I mean, back then it was like, I don't know. I tried to get my daughter in makeup, but now it's just not the same anymore. It's not like it used to be like, oh, you're a family member. Come on in.
Yeah, the nepotism.
Totally different ballgame now. Now you got to have so many union hours to join a union, to get in, and it's just, ugh.
So this is Amanda?
Yeah.
So did she ever get a chance to work in makeup or anything in the studios?
No, she had to have so many non-union hours. She had to do like non-union gigs to have so many hours to actually get in to join the union.
That's weird. Like, it's like the union promotes the non-union to get into the union. What?
Exactly. I know. It's hard to get in now. It's very hard.
So, yeah, because Blackie, I mean, he went back to, what, the 50s, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, he used to do, I think our great uncle used to do, what did he do? Like Beverly Hillbillies. He was a driver on the Beverly Hillbillies show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's got to be the 50s, 60s.
Well, I would say that Beverly Hillbillies was the 60s, and he and Sarah probably moved out in the 50s.
Right. I remember when your dad took a picture with Telly Savalas. I mean, I don't know if you remember that picture, but your dad and your mom are taking pictures with Telly Savalas.
And Walter Matthau.
Yeah, exactly. So that's,
I mean, I have a picture, Telly Savalas is, I'm like, I don't know, I'm like 3 or 4 years old, and I'm like, and Telly Savalas is like holding me in his arms. You know, and I remember when James Garner was, my dad James took some Garner. Pictures he of him Rockford too, Files. And like James Garner's holding me, you know, like, what did you just say, Rockford Files?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, it's funny though how you have like, and these are like, this is back in like the 70s and stuff, you know, but.
Right.
But yeah, it's cool though. So if you think about it, like your dad, our uncle, you, Blackie, who would be
Don?
Oh, Don. So about 5 people then were in the studio industry.
Correct.
Yeah, and your dad, well, he did heat and air conditioning as well.
Right, but he started off as a tram driver
for a Universal Studios tour.
For Universal Studios, right?
That's amazing how you go from a tram driver to heating and air, and then you're like in the front office or whatever the heck he did with like management.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like crazy how all that stuff like plays out over a career, you know?
No, exactly. No, it was, yeah. But no, it's been a good gig though, Jim. I mean, I love it. I mean, I met people that I'd never meet, and it's just like, wow.
Oh, there are people how do you meet them unless you're like...
I mean, I met Clint Eastwood, and I mean, I worked on, I can't remember the damn show, the one where they went to Space Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I was actually working on that set, and I had to put the air conditioning hoses inside the spaceship every time they were shooting, and I'd pull it out when they were rehearsing. It was actually pretty cool.
So you see these guys, so let's just say Space Cowboy, or Space Cowboys, and you see these guys, you know, they're doing their acting, you're on the set, you're like keeping them cool, and you're doing everything that you know, your job entails. Now the movie's released, whether it's in the theater or you wait till it comes to DVD or streaming or whatever, does it have like a mark on your like viewing and stuff, or do you say like, oh, I worked on that, and then, oh, you see that over there, and or do you suspend all of that stuff and you can watch it with, you know, no big deal, and you can enjoy the movie?
You know what I have to say, like, as a kid, I loved the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
I used to love the old show, Wonder Woman with Linda Carter.
Yeah.
And most of that stuff was shot on the lot. So as a kid and I'm watching it, I don't know. But if I watch it now, I'm like, oh, there's Midwest Street. Oh, shit, that's that house. Oh, that's that house. It kind of takes away from it a little bit. I have to admit that.
It takes away the...
You know, just because the fun of it. Just because I know that, oh, it was shot there. It's not, I mean...
Yeah.
Here I thought it was like some location thing. And no, it's the Warner Brothers backlot. You know what I mean? It's like the Dukes of Hazzard. I thought it was somewhere in the South. They're jumping all these cars and... No, that's the Midwest Street. What the heck are they right. doing? You know?
I remember me and Clarissa were watching 24 when that show was on. And there was this restaurant up in like in the Malibu Hills that we were checking out for our... We were looking at different places to have our reception, you know? And this one place we went to check out, I don't remember the name of the restaurant, but it was like up Topanga Canyon or something, and or in the town of Topanga, perhaps. And so we were going to, it was a place we were considering. And sure enough, there was like a scene in the TV show 24 that took place at this restaurant. And Jack Bauer's daughter, who was played by Alicia, whatever.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah. So she comes out of the woods and stumbles into this restaurant, you know, and of course me and Clarissa were like, oh my god, that was the place we were checking out for the
right. It's exactly the same, Jim.
So yeah, and it's like the disbelief is sometimes hard to suspend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you got to consider I've been there 30 years. I could drive around that friggin' lot with my eyes closed, you know?
Right, right.
And when I see something, it's like, oh, shit, that's that house. Oh, that's that house. Oh, that's that. That's New York Street. That's Midwest Street. That's French Street. That's whatever they call them, you know? I know exactly where they shot it.
Now, let's say a movie that's been shot at a different studio or maybe that's been shot on a location somewhere. Knowing, like, the background and how movies are made and seeing the different scenes and, you know how, like, the action, the cut, the, you know, like whatever goes on. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen all these things made how many times over?
Yeah.
Even if it was made somewhere else, does that kind of ruin watching it for you? Or do you just have a deeper appreciation for how like these things come about and the knowing the work that goes into them?
You know, it's the work that goes into it. It's all the grueling hours that people spend on those things. Yeah, it don't bother me at all. I kind of enjoy it. But like I said, if something's shot on the main lot.
Yeah, I gotcha.
At Burbank, I kind of like, you know, like, oh, geez, they shot that in the Dukes of Hazzard. Oh, Wonder Woman. Oh, you know, it's just like the Waltons. They, you know, it's like, geez, they shot that same street 300 times different, you know.
Yeah, and the only thing that changes.
I mean, they'll put different cars there, exactly, different years, yeah. Different, you know. Different backgrounds, different setups, you know, maybe they'll name a building differently or, but yeah, no, it's, you know.
But overall, it's the same. Yeah, I got you.
It's the same. It's the same.
Right. That's kind of, I mean, in a way that's cool, but in a way it's like.
It takes away. Especially my, you know, like my child, like Wonder Woman. I love that show. And it's like, oh, geez, they shot that. Wait, that building was in the last episode, but nobody knows that except me.
And it's, you know? Like, yeah, you're seeing how the sausage is made.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Oh, that's funny, man. That's funny. I think the movies and the studios and the whole thing that surrounds it, whenever I've been on sets and whether I'm in the audience or I'm like just kind of in the background because Uncle Bud would take us places to watch stuff and being filmed and everything. And I've had some cool experiences with that myself. The thing that's really awesome about it, though, is you get to see kind of how everything's made.
Right.
And then you see, like, what the magic of editing actually does, right? Because, well, like you said, it took the guy till 5 a.m. or whatever it was to get one simple line.
Exactly. Could you imagine? It was probably like about 3-second line.
Exactly.
But that's how perfectionist they are sometimes, you know? It's like,
so when you think about that, now you have to still do the entire thing and all night long to get like a minute and it or whatever it is.
Right.
And it's like at some point somebody has to cut that whole thing together. And back in the day when it was film, oh man. You know, nowadays it's digital. You can move things around on a screen using like Adobe products and whatever people use. But man, when it used to be like film and they would cut that thing together.
No, I know. I know. They have a lot of old cutting rooms there and it's like, it's pretty cool.
When they used to say what? It would hit the cutting room floor. Like it would literally hit the cutting room floor. You know?
No, exactly. No, they used to cut them. Like the film, I used to walk in there and and a guy or a woman's in there and they're actually cutting the film. You know, it's not like now where everything's on the damn computer. You know, everything's all digital.
Yeah, it's all digital. I mean, I would say both have their, how would you put it? Both have their, like you have to be intelligent enough to use both of them because I'm sure the film cutter probably has no idea how to do the computer side and vice versa.
Right.
But man, to have that talent to just like splice it together and just make like the seamless movie and the editing be just amazing. I mean, that's awesome, you know?
Well, I remember one scene they did, Batman Forever. That was the most beautiful set I ever seen. So they had the Batmobile going through like in between his buildings or something like that. And the Batmobile crashed. That was all like live action. I mean, now it would be all, oh, let's do a digital and a blue screen. Not then. Back then, they actually crashed that car right through the building. And, you know, they had flames. And it was like, wow, it was really cool. Now it's like oh, everything's digital. Everything is digital.
Yeah, it's all green screen and digital. Back in the day, man, it was like pyrotechnics and explosions. And
oh, it was. I mean, I remember that stuff was like, you're like, they give us a warning or something and say, oh, on this side of the lot, you're going to hear a big boom. Oh, okay. You hear this big old ba-boom. You know, it was like real stuff.
And of course, there's still a place for stunt drivers and stunt men and women and everything. But I think when you can do so much with computers, even like stunt work, and maybe it's for the better. I mean, it's safer. They don't have to worry about getting their like hair on fire and blowing up and everything.
Right, right, right.
But at the same time, I mean, there's an art to that stuff.
There was an art. Now, probably a lot of people lost their jobs because of it. Because think of all those, you know, the special effects people that, I mean, I was talking to one special effects on one of the shows I worked on at the ranch, The Middle. And he even said, he goes, yeah, it's not like it used to be. We lost a lot of people in the industry because everything is blue screen now, you know? It's like they don't do the stuff they used to do.
Yeah, and consider too, I mean, like, people lose their jobs and stuff, but then other people obviously pick up jobs.
Right, because now a digital guy's doing something that guy
exactly,
did.
Right, yeah. Right, right. But it's like you lose a technical skill and then you gain a technical skill, but I think
right.
like the art has shifted, you know what I mean? And there's something correct. To that. I mean, to like think of it, the original Star Wars. I mean, you're looking at models and the cameras being really close on like an X-wing going down into the trench and all this. And then when George Lucas redid it all, he brings in all the CGI and all that work that was done by the model guys, like, just gets thrown away. Like, how do you do that? You got to keep that stuff because that's what made that movie so amazing was, I mean, you can have all the computer generated information and graphics and all the stuff there is, but the models and those like firecracker explosions, and I mean, that made that movie so amazing for 1977.
Well, you remember the Batman Forever with the penguin scene with the penguins?
Yeah,
I remember
real penguins.
So you're gonna laugh, Jim. So they'd have a big truck with all these penguins in there, right? And these penguins would march down the ramp, kind of like military. And they just walk in the stage, look like some German military, how perfect they marched up the freaking... They walked in the stage. Well, in today's era, you know they'd have CGI penguins, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd be all computer
penguins. I mean, but those were real penguins, and once they opened the door, they'd march down the freaking stairs, and they marched to the stage. And I wish I had a camera back then or cell
phone.
They
were so well-trained.
They were, like, perfect, and they marched, like, perfect sync all the way up inside the stage, and everything was like... Damn, they would never do that today.
Right, right. Yeah, because you'd have like PETA or somebody like all over them for like animal rights activists or something, you know?
Exactly. And it was like back then we had to get our air conditioning like really, 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 really cold to see your breath, you got to have like antifreeze.
Wait, you'd see your breath?
Well, we get the stages like on Batman Forever, we got the stage like 30 degrees.
Oh, wow.
Because they wanted to see your breath when they're talking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like antifreeze in your car so the refrigerant doesn't freeze up.
So it doesn't freeze, right.
Exactly. So that's why we had a thing called glycol in there. It's like a car antifreeze.
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
But now they probably just CGI the breath, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But back then they wanted to see the breath and get that look.
Man, and that's got to be so expensive to run a system like that, you know, to drop the temperature. So you're filming in Burbank. It's 110 degrees outside.
It was in the summertime when they did it.
It's 110 degrees in the summertime, and then you walk into a soundstage, and it's like 25.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah, no, it was amazing though. But now it's like, yeah, it's a different industry than it was.
Yeah,
then. It's more digital and CGI. But you know, like Batman Forever, they probably took about 6 or 7 months to film that friggin' movie. It took them a long time.
Yeah.
Now they knock out these movies in 3-4 months. It's like, damn, man. You know, it's like.
And that's probably the acting side of it. And then they probably do another 3 months or something on the computer side of it or something and the production,
right,
whatever.
Right,
but
right.
Or they're doing them simultaneous while these guys are doing the live action. The other guys are doing
the digital. Yeah.
The digital. And then they just like put it together in post and here you go. And it's just, I mean,
no, exactly.
You look at Netflix. I mean, they crank out these things. I mean, one after another and bam, bam, bam. They just crank out so many shows. And yeah, I mean, you're right about that. You know, it doesn't take long.
No, it doesn't take long at all. They knock out, well, like a regular TV series. It'll, take him a week to do an episode, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, 30 years doing it, you're probably approaching the twilight of your career at some point. I mean,
yeah, I got about 8-10 years left.
Oh, you'll be there 40 years.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Like I said, they don't give that much time for people who commit murder.
No.
But so, okay, 10 years to go, let's say.
But I enjoy what I do. I'll honestly just go until my body tells me not to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I enjoy the people. I enjoy, you know, being around the movie industry.
Yeah.
So I'll just be there until my body says, okay, you can't do it anymore.
Well, and the worst that happens is, you know when you're done and you're done.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're already like, you've already met like your retirement and stuff, or you soon will.
Yeah. I'm already got everything locked in.
Yeah. So you're locked in there. So now it's pretty much a matter of just like you said, you're working because you like it, not because you have to necessarily.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's cool though. I mean, and then, just to finish up with, before we start talking about a few other things, let's wrap up with you and your job and stuff. I mean, it sounds like you've had a fun career and, meeting a lot of cool people and doing a lot of cool things and working on, all kinds of movies, TV shows, even not so much series, but even things like Ellen you mentioned and, just like talk shows and stuff. I mean, what would you say, maybe like the top two, let's go there, like where like the two main highlights, like looking back, you'd say, man, that was kick ass. What would that be?
There used to be a show called the Chicago Suns. I'm sure not many people remember that.
Okay, Chicago Suns.
It took place across the street from Wrigley Field, and it was this two bachelor guys. It was kind of like Friends, but it was like guys. And it didn't last long. I don't think it lasted like a season. So being from Chicago, there used to be a lot of Chicago sports stars.
Oh, okay.
So they had like, I met Dick Butkus. I met Scottie Pippen of the Bulls.
Oh, is that Jason Bateman?
Jim, I don't honestly remember.
Yeah, Chicago Suns.
But they had Ryan Sandberg of the Cubs. So one day, Dick Butkus, one of the Bears' best players of all time, the Chicago Bears, was done with his scene, and he's walking down the street, and I had my little Chicago Bears hat on, and my friend, who was an electrician, had a Green Bay Packer hat on.
Oh, where
he was from. Now, being from Chicago, you hate the Packers.
Right.
Or Packer fans hate Bear fans. So me and my friend Max, we run up to Dick, and he sees me with my Bears hat on, and he goes, "You? Fine. You? Get out of here." And he was talking to my friend Max, and my poor friend Max left. And we were, I must have talked to him for like 15, 20 minutes, and that was the highlight of my career, is meeting Dick.
Oh, that's so cool.
I mean, that was this friggin' awesome.
And he chases off the Packer fan.
He takes it, yeah, exactly. And I would say the other one is probably Martin Sheen, man. Just talking to him every single day. And that man is one of the nicest men I've ever met. He's so genuine and so he's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just like we used to just talk, just ramble on for friggin' hours. I mean, obviously when his scene wasn't up, we would just stand out front of the stage and smoke cigarettes all day.
Yeah, he had to go to work, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, when his scene came went in. And but yeah, no, that those and then playing basketball with Dean Cain. Those are probably my three top. Those were like, yeah, it was just like, it was just awesome.
Yeah, that's so cool. All right, so every week, obviously we're the trailer junkies, so me and Ted always talk about movie trailers. And, there's not a lot going on, and, talk about a lot of, like, Netflix and streaming and TV shows and stuff. And I don't know, sometimes that stuff is okay, but I want to get back to movies and everything. So I know one of your favorite movies is the original Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about that trailer a little bit. I watched it again. I've seen it before, of course, and the movie's incredible. But let's talk about that trailer, what you think. I mean, I'll open it up. What I'll initially say is the trailer is certainly dated, just by their format. It's not a typical like modern format of a trailer.
Right.
But it certainly holds up. It is solid.
When I seen that movie in 1975, I was 7 years old. I still don't go in the water today because of that movie. And our grandparents, Noni and Pops, there used to be a dollar theater by us. And I remember they took me and my sister to go see that movie. And I remember when Hooper was in the cage under the water. Remember that scene?
Yeah.
And the shark came from, but so Hooper's standing like, I don't know, he's facing one way. And the shark comes from the back and hits the cage.
Yeah, exactly.
You should have seen your grandmother. She must have jumped about 20 feet.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
But yeah, no, that movie scared the living crap out of me, Jim. Like I said, even to this day, me and my wife went to Puerto Rico about, I don't know, 8 years ago, and we were in the ocean. I was in the ocean. That was pretty out there, right? And the first thing I start thinking in the back of my mind is, crap, is a great white going to get me? Is a great white? I mean, seriously, that starts swimming in. That, to this day, I'm still paranoid to go in the water.
So you know what's funny, though? So, and I could be wrong with this, but they generally are in colder water than warmer water. So like tropical stuff, they probably wouldn't be in. But right off the shore here, we have Surf Beach. And they call it Surf Beach for a reason, because we get some huge breaks and a lot of people surf there. So, oh, maybe this is like 5 years ago, I think, four or five years ago. Guy got killed by a great white. The following year, on the exact day, another guy got killed by a great white surfing. Oh, 2 years in a row, on the like to the day, they get killed. Let me just tell you that I don't know if a lot of people surfing there anymore, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, there's great whites right off the shore where we are. And like I said, I mean, we had two deaths by great whites, just, I mean, right down the street, literally. And, you know, and so I agree with you. I'm not big on the water either. I mean, I'll go in the water if it's like tropical and shallow and stuff, but I'm not going out deep.
And you know, it sucks too. The odds of getting bitten by a shark are probably like astronomical. They're probably like,
I may as well play the lottery.
Exactly. But that fear of seeing that darn movie always put the fear in me. It's like they did their job, I guess, because it scares the hell out of me.
The other thing about the trailer that I loved, they make that boat scene when they're hunting the shark. And, you know, you see the boat like listing over and all that stuff. I mean, they make that boat scene super intense, man. I mean, that is like, that's a good scene. And the way they play it out in the trailer, I mean, the trailer is like, I think it's like a 3 minute trailer or something like that. It's kind of a longer trailer. But man, that is the way they play that out. And in the movie, that scene goes on kind of a long time when he's eating the boat and everything.
Right.
But when they're like, we need a bigger boat. That's just amazing.
You know, and that was edited by a woman in her garage. I don't know if you know that.
In her garage?
Her garage.
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, it was edited in her garage.
So her garage was the cutting room floor?
Yep.
Holy cow. Now, how does Steven Spielberg say this is a good place to edit?
I don't know the whole story behind it, but he knew her or something.
I'll have to look at that and see, and then we can put it in the show notes or something.
Yeah, even the, remember the scene where the guy's head popped out of the bottom of the boat?
Yes. Oh, that freaked me out.
That was done in a pool. They needed that scene. They added it, and they put milk in the pool to make it look like an ocean. And they actually filmed that in somebody's swimming pool, that one scene.
Oh, disgusting.
But you would think it was the ocean. It's just amazing.
Oh, that scene freaked me out, man, back in the day.
Now, here's a question for you. I know Richard Dreyfuss was talking to Spielberg, and he's like, why don't you release a Blu-ray or a DVD with a CGI shark? That's what I want. What do you think that? I mean, I don't know if that'd be... I'd say leave it.
I mean... Let's put it this way. Lucas already ruined my childhood with how many times he remade Star Wars.
I know, me too.
Yeah, no, you got to leave the mechanical shark. So, okay, me and the family, we've been watching like old Disney movies, you know, on Disney Plus.
Right.
And with all these old Disney movies, they might have like a backdrop, let's say. And in that backdrop, there's going to be a town or a village and ships. and, you know, it's going to have like sunsets and everything. And it's just like painted on canvas.
Right.
That's like going back to all the old Disney movies, thrashing all that and putting in CGI. I mean, no.
No, I agree. I mean,
that's what makes the movies like endearing.
Well, take like The Wizard of Oz. Those are all.
That's another one.
You could say that. Wow, that's a backdrop. You know that is. But you know what? That movie stands up today.
But that's what makes it endearing. That's why we love it, is because you have to take the movie in the context of the year that it was made. You know,
correct.
Jaws wasn't made today. So don't try and fake it like it was made today.
No, I agree. But that's what Richard Dreyfuss wanted. He just said, oh, it would be so much better with a CGI shark. And I disagree.
I agree with you that I disagree.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, we don't want to go down that path.
But I still think that movie holds up, though, in my opinion. I think it was this great, I mean, written fantastic. The acting was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It just scared the living crap out of you, you know?
And even today, I mean, that, like you said, it holds up. I mean, it's solid. So what's your opinion of, like, the second Jaws, or Jaws 3 in 3D, you know? And what do you think about when Jaws goes hunting people and stuff?
You know what? I saw Jaws 2.
Yeah.
It was good. It wasn't great, but it was entertaining. It was all right. But I saw Jaws 3 and I was like, oh, it was in 3D.
Yeah, I remember we went to Ford, the Ford Mall? No, what was it in Chicago?
Ford City.
Ford City, yeah.
I went with our friends, our parents' friends, Frank Adams.
Yeah, I was there.
You came or what? You were there. Remember we saw that? I was like, man, this is bad. It was.
They shoot the harpoon and it goes like right at the camera, you know?
And yeah. And it was like, but yeah, no. But it's like most movies, though, I think. The first one always holds up pretty much better than the second or third.
Right, right.
This is my opinion.
And then what was it, Jaws 4? Like, they go to the Caribbean, and Jaws, like, he hunts them down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jamaica or something like that. It was some.
So bad. Yeah, it was so bad.
That was bad. I mean, 2 is adequate, but 3 and 4, ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember Back to the Future? When they had Jaws 19 or something like that on the screen. They thought that was going to go on forever.
Yeah.
Like Jaws 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, when, you know, keep going.
That's hilarious. But yeah, Frank, man, hey, you know, anything else before we wrap it up that you wanted to talk about that we missed that maybe I didn't ask? Anything about, you know?
I can't really think of anything except this COVID-19 has really stopped production.
Well, it stopped everything. Even my job's on hold.
It stopped everything, but it kind of like, I mean, it really stopped production. And I just pray that this virus goes down and people wear their masks and be safe and keep a distance and take it serious. You know, it's not a joke, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of guys I know, electricians, that got it at work. And they were off 2 weeks. They were back and they got it. One of the guys came back last week.
Oh, man.
And I asked him, hey, how was it? And he goes, it was terrible, man. He goes, I was in bed for like 2 weeks and I couldn't breathe. And it's real. It's not a joke, you know?
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I mean, I don't know how we get through it all and what the outcomes, like the long term, like what it looks like when we move past it. But I'll have to say it sucks, though. Like, I mean, I'm off work too. Well, I always say off work, and me and Ted always like kind of correct each other. We're not off work.
We're
working
from home.
But a lot of what I correct. Do too is I work from home, and this year is going to be kind of a hybrid where I'm going to be doing some testing with kids and stuff, but we're going to do it in such a way that like we're distanced and safe, and I don't know what that's going to look like. It hasn't happened yet, so I don't really know. But then it's like the boys, I mean, like what kindergartner needs to go to kindergarten on a computer? You know what I mean? Like,
no, I agree with that.
Yeah, you got to be in the classroom. Like, you know, you take like the paper plate and you glue the googly eyes on the paper plate and you draw your hand and make a turkey and stuff. I mean, that's kindergarten, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, it's like, okay, let's draw our hand and make a turkey, you know? And it's like, you know, they're over there on the computer. It's like, oh, God, this is just awful.
I mean, I think it's a different society, Jim. We're going to be living in a different society for a long time, in my opinion.
I think so. I mean, even like you said, I mean, and if you think about the way you described the way they're shooting Macbeth. You know, nobody's on the stage but the actor. And then all of a sudden, cut, everybody shifts. They're sanitizing. They let in this guy. They let out that guy. You know, and they do all. And then it's like, then they do the next scene. And it's just, you know, if you think about editing even, it's like we're going to film each person individually and then we're going to cut it together, right?
Right.
How do you even act when you don't even have your counterpart in front of you or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're even rehearsing with masks.
And think about that, too. Like, so much of acting is body language and facial expressions. Right. And, you know, right. just like, you know, you're emoting whatever the emotions are and such. And then you got to figure, you got to put in a safe environment to produce these movies. The production costs alone have to be just skyrocketing. And then what does that do to the box office when, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to the theater.
Right. And we got three big movies coming out. We got that, what, that Tenet?
Oh, Tenet, yeah.
Is it Tenet? I think it's Tenet. Tenet. We got Wonder Woman. And it's like, well, if nobody go to the theater, how in the hell is the studio going to make money? You know, it's like, and then I got to worry about getting laid off again because the studio ain't making money, you know, after being there 30 years. It's like, hey, I don't blame the studio. If there's no money coming in, how are you going to pay your employees, you know? It's like you said, with no movie theater, how are you going to make money? Besides online, but.
Yeah, well, right. But think about streaming, like you said, online. It goes to streaming. People pay for HBO, Netflix, Hulu, Showtime, whatever they're paying for, Disney Plus and so on. Now a movie comes out. What would it cost you and Anna to go to the movie, right? About, say, $30, let's say.
Oh, $30. Probably we get popcorn. Yeah, that's about right.
Right. But I'm just saying, though, not, I'm not counting the concessions.
Oh, about $30.
About $30, about right?
Yeah.
So let's say Tenet comes out.
Right.
And they're going to say $15 to stream it to your living room.
Right. That means, guess what? $15 for me and my wife.
Well, or whoever else is there.
Or if you and Clarissa want to come over, that's four people for $15. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And well, but think about this, though. How many people won't pay $15 because when you're at home, you're already in the psychological mindset that, well, I'm already paying for Netflix. Why can't it just be on Netflix? I'm already paying for
right, exactly.
HBO. Why can't they just put on HBO?
Right.
Why do I have to pay another $15 when this is $15 a month? Now you're going to charge me $15 for one movie.
Right.
But then, like you said, correct. How many people can watch it or something? You know, it's, I don't know, man. It's like, I can't see the current theatrical business model that's, it's got to change somehow. I don't know what it's going to look like, but man.
I have no idea, Jim. I couldn't tell you that.
But like you said, if they're not making the money, they're not going to pay you your wage, and they're not going to pay actors the millions that they get. And
yeah, and you can't blame them. I mean, how are you going to pay somebody? You don't have any money coming in, you know?
100%. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know, man. It's going to be ugly, though. I think it's going to be ugly.
I think people got to take this virus serious. I mean,
yeah.
Instead of going to the beach or whatever you want to do, you know? I mean, I just think it's dumb.
Well, and, you know, we'll go to Home Depot. I'll have my mask on. Boys will have their masks on. And then there'll be some guy in Home Depot with no mask.
How many videos do you guys see online where somebody's arguing they walked into a Trader Joe's with no mask and she's having a conniption or something, you know? It's like, sheesh.
Well, here's the funny thing. So, like, there'll be some other guy in there and say, sir, please wear your mask appropriately or something, right? And then they almost get into a fist fight over it.
I know. Over it, like, just wear the mask. How hard is it?
Right? It's like, so then we're at Home Depot and a guy's not wearing his mask right. So Mikey will walk up to him, well, can you put your mask on?
I think that's fantastic.
And I'm just thinking to myself, yeah, yell at my kid, right? No, what does the guy do?
Exactly.
What
does the guy do? Good job,
puts
Mikey.
Puts his mask on. Because he can't deny the five-year-old.
Well, you know what I can't understand too, Jim? Somebody will say, oh, I got a health problem. I can't breathe. I'm at the grocery store. They got options that they could. Me and my wife just ordered groceries today, and they delivered them at our doorstep.
Well, and think about this. If your lungs are so bad that you can't wear a mask for a health reason because you can't breathe, man, you better not be out in public, because if you get COVID-19, you're dead.
You're in trouble.
Right.
No, I agree. It's serious. I mean, it's you get it. It's pretty nasty.
Yeah. All right, man. So to end on a high note, let's put it this way. It's the reality that we're living in and everything. So to end on a high note, any positives coming from your work or anything? I mean, right before we leave here, you know, you'd like to share.
Well, they said production is supposed to start up in the next couple of months. So
now this is for like TV and all that kind of stuff?
TV. All the TV shows are supposed to be back in a couple of months.
Okay, cool.
We'll see if that don't change, you know, if the governor shuts down everything, that could, you know.
Right.
But that's the rumor. I mean, it's just a rumor. I mean, they said they were supposed to start in June, and look, it's already, what, August now? Nothing.
August, yeah.
And nothing yet, so.
And the thing that sucks, though, is, I mean, we don't get back to production soon. There's going to be no TV to watch pretty. I mean, I guarantee you.
I know.
We're deep in the archives of what they were going to release, and they don't have a big stockpile anymore.
I mean, I heard a couple of things that one of the guys I know at work, he says, yeah, we bought a couple of shows from overseas. I mean, you know.
Right.
But I don't know what they are.
Yeah, probably British shows or something.
That's what he was saying. It could be, but they're shooting in other countries, I heard.
Yeah.
But our country has the highest rates of COVID-19 than anybody else, so
we're approaching a couple hundred thousand deaths, you know. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's scary.
All right, Frank, you know, hey, this was awesome. I had a great time.
Hey, I had a fantastic time, and I love listening to your guys' show, and I've listened to it, and every time I get home from work, I listen to your show. I've been listening probably about 15 episodes so far, and I enjoy them.
Oh, cool.
I think you and Ted do a great job.
Yeah, we'll have to have you on when Ted's around, too, because like I said.
Yeah, I'd like to be on there with Ted, too, because he's funny.
And, you know, now that we got your background and stuff, we don't have to revisit it. And you can always, obviously, share, like, any fun stories that are relevant to anything we're talking about. But it'd be fun to have you on once in a while just to dissect trailers. And maybe if we have some Warner Brothers and you could be like, oh, that's the Johnson house and that's or whatever. I don't know.
Exactly.
That's the Midwestern block.
Exactly.
You know? So, yeah, cool. All right, man. Well, hey, you have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Too, my
and
cousin.
I hope to have you on again when Ted's around.
I'd love it.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Frank.
Have a good night.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.